how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Everybody, welcome to episode 415 of Shift and Steer. And you know what? Matt told me to say, welcome to the party, pal. And he was, I said, I'm not going to say it. He said, come on, you got to. And, but it's just Matt and I today because Aaron is loading up old used U-Hauls and hauling what's left of his shop down the mountain to his new place where he will reside.
If you ever wanted any of Aaron's junk or stuff, rather, feel free to follow him on his Facebook pages because stuff is for sale. You want a snowblower or you want a cab over truck? You got a variety of things for sale.
I'll bet you he'd find something else there too. I mean,
yeah,
but he sold a lot of. He sold his Isettas, his Mini, his Porsche, sold. His Ducati, his other motorcycle. I mean, he's selling everything. You know, I haven't seen Misha around in a while. I'm hoping that, you know, he didn't leave her locked in one of the cars or mistakenly put her in a box or something. So,
he's been making a lot of headway on that big move. But, and as much as we've been talking to him and seeing the post, that's just the shop. He hasn't touched the house yet.
I know. And you see him when if you go back to any of our old videos during the pandemic, when we put our videos up of the show, you see how tightly packed his office is. Yeah.
Every little art thing he's ever worked on is basically back there, painted statues, models, everything. It's just, I mean, I guess you could just spend a little time and just do it all in boxes because it's not a lot of heavy lifting. It was important to get the heavy lifting stuff done first. The lift,
we had to get out of that shop. Yeah.
Lev rack, motorcycles, tools. I mean, just all the things that sort of morphed its way onto the walls and the ceiling of that place over the years. I'm sure he's going to get into it when he gets his head above water.
Yeah, next week maybe he'll be on to tell us all about it because it was. He had stuff everywhere. And I mean, I'm good at stuffing things in nooks and crannies, but he's the master. So I've been doing a lot, Matt, getting a lot of Winbrad stuff moved down the road this holiday.
A lot of following Winbrad stuff on Instagram. There's a lot of stuff
and,
going on.
And Mine Be Yours on eBay, which is the Winbrad stuff store. I have, I've been amazed at how much stuff I've sold. But what's funny is, a lot of it are smalls, and I'll be like, oh man, I sold all this stuff, but it all fits in a box that's about 6x6. Then I look at my shop and I go, okay, I haven't cleared as much out as I wanted. Maybe I cleared a square foot.
Listen, the Bond Speed watches are cool, but they don't take up that much space. And you can
I know we sold a ton
again.
Of Bond Speed watches. I mean, literally. I mean, we sold so many, it was great. And we do have a good selection still if you want them.
Did you realize you had that many left?
Unfortunately, I did realize it. But the way I have them stored, I kind of forgot I had them, to be honest with you, that many until I started going through them and I went, oh, wow, you know. But we're trying, people love them. They get them. I've already gotten some really nice comments from people about, got my watch, thanks so much, I really love it. And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got two different versions.
I know you do. You got a couple. And they're great gifts. They're one size fits all, which is always nice. But the thing is that it is so funny about how when you list things on eBay, all the experts come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two instances. I put up, we used to go to the car shows back in the early 2000s, and you would get the press kits, right, Matt?
Yeah.
The printed press kits.
Yeah.
Even before the CDs, you would get sheets of slides, you know, and color slides and things like that. And they were quite extravagant and quite nice for those of you that have never seen them. And I collected them. You know, I kept them like everything else I keep. And I had a section. And I got a bunch of them. I got a bunch of Porsche, Audi, you know, Ford truck, Chevy truck, you know, whatever. You know, a bunch of Fox body ones I threw away because who wants that stuff?
Yeah, nobody wants that stuff.
But I had some from Ford 2004, and they were launching a bunch of restyles and things like that. And I had a Ford Taurus press kit.
Oh, nice.
Given away in 2004 for the new body style 2005. I put it up. Oh, yeah, I get a message. Now, the guy wasn't interested in buying it. He had no interest in it whatsoever. But he felt that he had to send me a private message with a complete explanation of that's not a 2005 Taurus, or I mean a 2004 Taurus, that's a 2005. They changed the body style in this big explanation. And I started to type, dude, it says 2004 Ford Motor Company press kit for the Taurus. And I went, yeah. Why? Why? Yeah. So I just stopped. I stopped there. Then I had a very, very special, I call it sculpture. Back at Boyd's, Boyd and I made a lot of, you know, the billet toys, billet awards, billet things. But at one time we made small block Chevys out of aluminum, little miniature ones that sat on your desktop. They were only for really special, you know, hot rod buddies, you know, guys like Pete Shapiro's got one, Bobby Alloway got one, Gary Metters from Good Guys, you know, it's things like that. We, you know, give them out to those guys. And I have more than one. And mm-hmm. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to sell this on eBay. Don't really want to sell it, Matt, even though I've got more than one. So I put a ridiculous price on it. And I said, it's art, it's sculpture. You're never going to find another one. And I want $5,000 for it. And I was amazed how many people came out of the woodwork looking at it, saving it, you know, everything. And I was like, wow. I mean, it is very cool. It's a really neat piece. But then today I got the first of probably what will be many. Experts.
Yeah.
What's the authenticity of this? And what's the story? Did Boyd Coddington actually machine it? And you know, I'm like, oh my God. You know, it's like, I just told the guy, I go, well, since I was like the co-creator of it and I've owned it since it was new, I think I would probably know the true story of it better than anyone else. Well, I know who you are. And you weren't even there in 1989. And I'm like, yeah, I was, you know, it's like, but it's just, everybody's an expert. You don't want to get into it. You don't want to feed the monster. It's kind of like being online on Twitter or something. And so I just said, hey, after quite a number of exchanges that were just kind of going nowhere, I said, hey, I'm messaging with you. What's your name? Because they kept calling me by my first name, so they knew who I was. And I go, what's your name? And I never heard back from them, Matt.
Yeah.
It was like, it's like, you just, it's those kind of things that are kind of, they make me chuckle, because it's like, it'd be like somebody telling you that if you put up the first can of Bravago on eBay and said, this is actually the first can ever produced, and we produced it in 2022 or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And somebody came on and said, nah, I don't know if that's authentic, because how would you know? I mean, it's like, oh yeah, how would I know? But
lucky for me, I drank that first can.
And I had the second can, I think.
Yeah, so. You probably had the off the production line, the first you probably had the second one.
I'm waiting for my Christmas present, because I know that there's probably going to be a case of Bravago delivered to my place. I'm just saying,
that's the only thing we're delivering.
It's like, yeah, but then we'd have to ship it to you.
Then we got to ship it to you. Although there's a place in Orange County, you go get it yourself. Just give the guy at the counter some money and he'll give you some Bravago.
Where can I get it in Orange County?
You can get it at Great American Crafts and Spirits.
That, do you know what city that happens to be in?
What is their address?
If you think I won't go by and get it, I will.
They are...
Well, Matt's looking
Rancho Santa Margarita.
Rancho Santa Margarita. That's a little south, but I bet I could make that happen.
So. They have an amazing retail store, kind of like a speakeasy with retail. And then next door to them is their warehouse where they do fulfillment for the mail order companies.
Oh, cool.
And they do all of our fulfillment for our online sales. Just in the liquor world, I can't sell direct to consumers. I got to go through a retail partner. They do it. But
who are all those 16-year-old kids that are always lined up there on Friday night then?
Yeah, they can go there. I'm not selling it. It's not my problem. But here's a little secret. Great American Craft Spirits also does all of Sammy Hagar's fulfillment. So you can go buy Sammy's products and Bravago all in the same store. Just ask for it. And I don't even know if it's on the shelf. Just ask them for it. And they've got it in the warehouse.
But buy 2-to-1 Bravago.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Sam's got lots of outlets.
Sam's got money. Actually, don't buy any of his stuff. Just buy mine. And then, although I will say this, Goldberg, who is my partner on this, is admittedly not a really big hard seltzer drinker. He likes tequila, and he has figured out his spiked tequila Bravago cocktail.
He's figured out what his combo is.
Yeah, he's so if you want to try that, pick up some Sammy Hagar tequila and some Bravago, and feel free to make some recipes for yourself. Because that's what Goldberg and his wife have been drinking. He's like, this is actually starting to make sense. So now he's a big fan. He's going to have cars for sale at Bear Jackson.
Yeah, we talked about that.
It's going to go Friday night, Scottsdale. And you're going to be out there. I'm going to be out there. Goldberg's going to be out there. We all know Sammy Hagar is going to be out there.
Mikey's coming.
Ferrari, Mikey. Aaron, I'm sure we'll talk him into going out there.
Rumor has it that Joe Satriani and the drummer
Jason Bonham,
excuse me, I was choking there. Jason Bonham, that everybody's going to be in the house, so it's going to be
Come have a drink with us if you buy the car, for sure. If you buy Goldberg's cars, you're going to have drinks with us.
Good.
All right, hey, let's get into some cars.
Is anybody gonna be buying a Tesla Cybertruck or Cybertruck Beast?
So the Cybertruck has been unveiled. I'm so curious. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I think it's an interesting thing. I think it's meant to be fun. It's polarizing when you see it on the road. I'll start with this. our friend Alistair Weaver at Edmunds.com. Edmunds got a deposit in back in like 2020 or whatever, and they want to order one. And I want to find out from them when they actually get it and independently test it. Is it a decent truck? Does it drive well? Does it handle well? We know it's going to be fast. Can you use it as a truck? But that being said, let's run through a few things on this. So,
well, and one of the things that they just announced is there's the Cybertruck and the Cyber Beast.
Well, which, it's a trim spec. Yeah. It's well, like, but it has, it's like a Model S plaid.
Load carrying capacities and like that.
Well, not I'll get into that. It's not exactly different. So,
well, the price sure as hell different.
Yeah, the price is different. So Cybertruck is it's big and it's tall, but about the size of an F-150 Raptor. And I say Raptor because of the height. It has a 6 foot long bed, 4 foot wide bed. The total truck is 223.7 inches wide, sits 70 and a half inches tall. Although it has air suspension to change that. But there's going to be essentially three trim models for the vehicle. There's going to be a rear wheel drive, an all-wheel drive, and then the all-wheel drive with the three motor. There's the all-wheel drive dual motor, the all-wheel drive three motor, I believe. And that one's called the Cyber Beast. It's kind of like a Model S Plaid. This is their version of the Plaid, is the Cyber Beast. Now, the base truck will come later. The more expensive ones will be out now. The base truck comes out in 2025. That one is a rear wheel drive, as we said, 0 to 60 in about 6.5 seconds, 250 mile range, cost about $62,000, and has a towing capacity of 7,500 pounds. Now, when you jump up to the all wheel drive or the Cyber Beast, both of those get 11,000 pound capacity. So you don't have to get the Cyber Beast for 11,000 pounds, but
I see what you're saying. You don't have to go to the Cyber Beast to get the 11,000 pounds.
And yeah. For the, I say capacity, the towing capacity. The base model rear wheel drive, 0 to 60, 6.5 seconds, 250 mile range. All wheel drive is 0 to 60, 3.9, with a 340 mile range. Cyber Beast drops it to 2.6 seconds, 0 to 60, with a 320 mile range. Now, an interesting thing.
While towing 11,000 pounds, right?
I don't know if it's quite that quick towing it. The payload capacity is going to be 2,500 pounds for those. 62,000 for the base model, roughly 81,000 for the all-wheel drive, and a little over 100,000 for the Cyber Beast. Now there's a couple of interesting options. All of these towing specs come in a little less than what was originally promised, but I'm not too worried about it. I don't think anybody's going to be using this thing as a massive tow hauler on a regular basis. I think it's going to be fine.
Well, if you're going to try and tow though, they talk about that range extender is almost needed.
Right. So here's the thing is, which you have a pickup truck and you want to use it as a pickup truck, and because it didn't quite get the range that was promised, they're offering this range extender, which is a battery that goes in the bed of the truck, which also now makes it kind of useless as a truck if you carry the battery.
Because
now,
it takes a third of the bed up.
It does. And it looks like a giant Pelican case. It's like a waterproof box that's in the back of the truck that you can't put anything in.
And the big thing is that they say it's not really something you can store at home. Like, you can't get home from your trip, take it out and put it in your garage. It's a dealer install and convert.
Yeah. So we've estimated it's going to weigh about 400 pounds, which also will change the dynamics of the vehicle, but it will add, I think they're saying somewhere about 120 miles of extended range. So if you got a Cyber Beast for $100,000, it's 320 miles of range. With the battery extender, it gets it to about 440. Now, these ranges have not been tested yet, so we don't know exactly for sure. But Tesla has actually been optimistic on their range testing. The actual cars have come in a little less, but that's potentially a thing. So also, there's an optional spare tire, but the spare tire doesn't go under the bed or anything. Right. It goes in the bed and strapped down with like a ratchet strap. So I don't think you can have a spare tire and an extended battery because they don't fit.
Well, you might be able to, but you wouldn't have any other inch of room. And that's but even having the spare tire in your bed totally eliminates. And what are you going to be doing? Oh, I'm halfway to Havasu. I got to find a charger and I have a flat tire. I'm screwed.
Well, you could pick one or the other. You could go, I'm going to risk the flat tire or I'm going to risk the range.
Yeah.
I think no one's going to get the spare tire. Everyone's going to get the battery if you get the battery. But here's another thought.
See,
this has
really... an opportunity, a rack that holds the spare tire somewhere on the roof or somewhere on this thing.
Yeah, there'll be like a rack that goes over the bed and the spare tire mounts, and it'll probably be like hinged or something, and you can get it up and out of the way. But the idea of the range extender battery is interesting because I don't think you could... I don't know what it would cost. It could be an incredibly high amount. I don't know if it's $5,000 or if it's $35,000. They didn't come up with that, but we know the batteries are expensive. I think it's going to be somewhere in the five figures. It's got to be $10,000. It's got to be.
They didn't give us those details, but a 45 caliber bullet won't penetrate it.
Possibly. I'm going to get into that in a second. So, but the idea of the battery is like, hey, it's dealer installed. You buy it. But what I see probably happening, which would probably make more sense, would be some sort of rental program. You could go to your dealer going, I'm going to do a trip. I want to rent the battery for 2 weeks or a week, install it. I gave you a few hundred bucks. I come back with the battery. You get it back. That would be much better instead of spending thousands of dollars on the battery. It's just a thought.
I'm going to go into business making stainless steel cyber truck trailers that are all angular, and it's for putting your stuff in when you have your spare tire and your battery.
Oh yeah, you're not the first one. There's already been concept drawings of that.
Yeah.
Of being out there. So to the point about the shooting the truck, so they threw the ball at it again, but instead of the metal ball they used originally, they used a baseball. They said you could shoot it. It's not recommended. You're going to screw up your truck. But they did shoot it with a 9mm 45. Now already ballistic experts, you know, armchair experts on the internet are going, well, it's not exactly what it is. And it's not the right bullet and it's not the right whatever.
They're not going to shoot it with armor piercing 50 right. caliber rounds.
He's not selling an armored vehicle. He's trying to explain how durable the stainless steel is. If he was selling an armored vehicle, it would you'd be able to put explosives under IEDs underneath it and blow it up. And it wouldn't turn you into an acid bath of batteries, he's trying to make a point. So I don't fault. I get it. It's fun.
You just brought up a point, Matt. Will we ever see an armored electric car? Because when you think about it, if the car caught on fire and because usually those are, you lock yourself inside, gas can't get in, the rocket, the bullets. But if they got the battery to catch on fire, and you're in that car, you're pretty much screwed. Will we ever see a armored?
You would be, but I would actually, Brad, I would say yes. I would say it's easier probably to make an armored electric vehicle in this case than a conventional vehicle, because conventional vehicles have these armor plates underneath it, usually just under the passengers. So if any sort of explosion, it wouldn't get into the passenger compartment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you have the battery between the passenger and the floor, but there's already a flat plate going across. So in theory, you could replace that plate with an armor, a ballistic thick whatever plate or some sort of multi-layered version of it, and it's just a flat component, right? There's no drive shaft. There's not, you know, there's nothing to really worry about there. So, and because that plate is essentially bolt on, I would imagine it wouldn't be too difficult to maybe take off the plate, reinforce it, do some sort of ballistic proof version of it, like they do on these armored vehicles, and do it again. It might hang down a little bit lower, but if you've got the ground clearance already.
But we've seen these fires where the fire department just stands back and lets the car burn because they are so intense.
Yeah. Well, if you got through the plate, if you got through the plate, you'd be screwed. So whatever the spec is, they would say
you're in an oven.
They would say it would be a ballistic, whatever proof plate up to a certain type of whatever.
So what explosion. You're saying, Matt, is that yes, we could see them. And then what the people that are after them have to do is just make it known they're there and keep following them until their battery runs out.
Until their battery runs out. And then their air conditioning doesn't work. And there's, it's locked in this thing. But anyway, I get the point of it. It's interesting. Now, it's stainless steel. And I know fans of this show especially understand that stainless steel is difficult to paint. Paint to stick.
Remember DeLoreans?
Yes, for that reason. So, well, we don't have to paint cars these days. We can wrap cars. So,
yes, very true.
The Cybertruck comes in stainless steel or with a matte black wrap, with a white wrap, or a clear like PPF wrap. Unfortunately, I think those wraps are like $5,000 to $6,500 to get it done. Now, I guess you could say cars today, yes, they come with paint and it's included in the price, but premium paint options could cost several thousand dollars. You know, depending on what type of car you're getting. If you're buying
a Porsche,
you're going
to want to clear PPF it afterwards.
Yeah, you're going to do that anyway, you know? Right? So those are kind of the options. You can get different wraps, or you just buy the stainless steel version and you go and get it wrapped yourself, anything you want. Anyway, that's kind of what's going on there. They said it's going to have a turning radius tighter than I believe a normal sedan or the Model S. I forgot what they compared it to. It has variable rate steering and four wheel steering, not particularly new technology, but makes it more maneuverable, which is interesting. We know it's fast. In the videos that they did this great video and they're drag racing the Porsche 911 and the Cybertruck beats it. And then the camera pans back and you saw that the Cybertruck was towing another 911 behind it when it beat the 911.
People online, they were just, especially the editors of magazines and like that, were just bagging on it. And I thought, you know what? You take it for what it's worth. It's fun.
He's just trying to make a point.
It's like, cool, you know?
Yeah. His point is it's fast, and because it's a truck, it can tow and it's got the power. He's not trying to say we're going to go head to head against a particular 911 and we're going to do the gamut and run the numbers. And it's not that. It's meant to be fun and kind of gimmicky and showmanship. You know, for someone who's not even a fan of Tesla, I don't fault him for being the salesman and doing the fun videos, right? And loading up his press event, the live audience with Tesla fans, right?
Well, of course. I mean, that's smart. That's smart marketing. Yeah. But has anybody even approached, will a radar gun bounce off of it? Will it even see it?
Honestly, I don't know how. I don't know how that's going to work. I think the radar.
Now, that would have been a cool thing if they could have got it like a stealth bomber because of its angular and stainless.
Yeah.
You know, where, yeah, and radar guns won't even see it.
There's no way he would say that publicly. That would be funny. Although he might. It's a bit wacky.
He probably would.
Anyway, at the end of the day, look, we're going to see them in LA probably before anybody, other than maybe around the plant in Texas. And it's going to be this big, polarizing, interesting thing to see. And it's going to be kind of fun. And it's going to be maybe a little gimmicky at first. But at the end of the day, I would like to know, is it a decent truck? Is it going to be a decent truck? I mean, certainly at this price point, and the price point isn't dissimilar from the other EV trucks. A Ford right. Lightning is expensive. A Ford Lightning Platinum with all the options is $100,000.
Yeah, it's right? not like a third more than others. Yeah, it's yeah. right in there. Yeah,
for sure. You know, are you going to go to a job site and see six of these things in the parking lot and everybody's working out of them? It's not going to be that truck. But to be fair, I don't think you're going to see six Ford Lightning Platinums out there either. And they're not using that truck yet. I mean, Ford would like you to get it. You'd like to get to the standard cab Pro Lightning and use it as a work truck. But
yeah,
I just don't know how many people are there yet on making that happen. So it's cool. It's interesting. I got to be honest with you, this rear wheel drive version that's going to be released in 2025, the base model, the $62,000 version, I wouldn't be surprised if by time this happens, they just kill it, because Tesla already has seen an uptick in their more expensive premium versions. They stop like on the Model S. They're like, yeah, we got the 60 kilowatt battery. We're like, nobody's buying it. Everybody wants the bigger battery. Everybody's spending more money. This could be the same case with the truck. I guess you'd have to see.
When Ford was Lightning the last sales. Time you were at a rental car counter, Matt?
See, I don't think it was that long. I mean, in the last year.
Well, at Orange County Airport, they've got all these electric cars. They got Teslas, okay?
Yeah.
A whole row of them. And I've been there a couple times in the last, 6 months. And I walk up and the very first thing they say, hey, would you like to be upgraded to a electric car for free? And yeah. everybody in line in front of me was like, no. And and I get up and they go, would you like it? And I said, is it one of those out there? I go, is that a dual motor? Or is it a, and they go, oh, it's the basic one. And I go, no, you know, I mean, and
yeah.
And
does it have the 60 kilowatt battery? It's got
now I did take one. And I've told the story on the show when I, you know, when I went out to, you know, the track in Palm Springs and
yeah, thermal.
It was what?
Thermal.
Thermal. Track. Yes. Thank you. And I enjoyed driving it. But as I said on the show, I had to charge the damn thing up because it's the basic model. So yeah. there wasn't enough to go to Palm Springs and back without sitting for 20 minutes and charging, you know, and that's why nobody wants one. Plus, the other thing that is kind of the nasty little secret they don't tell you about is that just like filling a rental car up, you have to charge the rental car up before you come back or they charge you. And so I'm like,
yeah,
what the hell? So I had to go charge the car up, just sit there and wait for it to be charged before I could take it back that night. You know, I was like, this sucks.
Yeah. By the way, if you're on your way, like most people with a rental car, you're on your way back, like from the hotel, going to the airport, dropping the car off. You could pop into a gas station for 5 minutes and top it off. You don't want to sit there. By the way, if you find a fast charger, fine.
That's the other thing. You got to know where the charger is.
But if you don't and you're at the hotel and you're on a regular, like a 240 that's going to take 8 hours or like you really got to plan ahead. And God forbid if that charger like at your hotel is already taken, you can't let it charge overnight before you go to the airport. It's a little bit of a hassle. It's for around town or something. I don't know. Like if you're. Like for me, because I have a charger here in my garage, if a car broke or was in for service or whatever, and somebody goes, hey, do you want to rent a Tesla? Your insurance is going to pay for it. Here's your $30 a day, whatever, credit. I guess I could drive it around for the day, charge it up here and bring it back. But aside from that, I don't see like traveling to a different town and doing it.
No, don't want to do that.
No, because you finding the chargers and, you know, a little bit,
and it's a waste of time too, you know. So,
anyway, Cybertruck, interesting. Love to see the full test on this thing when it comes available. I want to see what Edmunds does with it.
Hey, I saw an article. I mentioned it to you that Consumer Reports just put out a study. They took 330,000 vehicles that. Had been owned for 2 years. So they had 2 years of data on all of them. And they kind of did a little rating on the ones that are the least reliable. And there were some surprises in there. And one of them was the Jeep Wrangler saying that it's unbeatable for off-road, but is it worth the trade-off? Because it rated very low on reliability. And, you know, we know there's been a lot of Jeep Wranglers sold. And, you know, there's a lot of vehicles in here. There's a VW, there's a Nissan pickup truck. But another one of the ones that kind of surprised me to see was the Rivian.
Yeah.
You know, we're fans of that Rivian. I haven't even driven one yet, but I see them all over my neighborhood. And they're quick, they're good looking, they have towing capabilities. And I don't think you have to put another battery in the back of one of those to tow with it. But it had trouble areas in the drive system, the climate control, and they said it had a lot of noises and leaks, and that's never good.
Look, I mean, you could be building cars for 100 years like some of these car companies, and you still have issues on a regular basis. I've got a couple of you know, TSBs on my Lightning already. And they're like, hey, we want you to come in and fix a few things. Not really a recall yet, but we want to fix a few things. And then having companies like Tesla, Lucid, Rivian, you know, try to do something from scratch, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough
well,
to do
yeah,
it.
I mean, look at all the, you know, manufacturers that were and still are affected by that recall on the airbags. That was everything.
Yeah, that Takata thing. That was a lot.
Another one that came up was the hybrid F-150. You talk about the Lightning, the hybrid F-150. It had reliability headaches in areas of the transmission, the electrical system, accessories, and the drive system. And again, noises and leaks. So it's across the board. It's like we said, it's everything. But I brought it up because I saw that Rivian in there and I thought, I really like the Rivian. I wanted it to be, oh yeah, and this one's like awesome, you know, because it's something I might actually buy.
But they're getting there. Lucid as well. Poor build quality across the board, but getting there. Even Tesla, you know, the first versions of the Model 3, not great. Getting there. They're all kind of getting there. But it's not easy.
It's not. You know, when Tesla, the first one to really come out and start a car company, that was such a monumental task, and they did it. We say a lot about Tesla, but they did it, and they still are doing it. And it's pretty amazing, you know. They almost went bankrupt a few times, but they made it.
They almost went bankrupt, and then they announced a Tesla Roadster, took $250 million in deposits, and haven't mentioned the car since. That was 6 years ago.
Well, hey, it's called, you know, you should come out with the Bravago Roadster.
Yeah, and, right? Some sort of crowdfunding.
We're coming out with the convertible Bond Speed wheels. We're going to be raising capital for that, and you get your orders. So, hey, I'm not a big golfing fan. Okay. Golf is one of those things where you got to have a lot of time to do it because you got to be good at it. And, you know, I'm just not a golfer. I mean, I golf, but not a whole lot.
Yeah. Neither am I.
And it's one of those things that if you're not a golfer, I don't know about watching it on TV either, but, I was finding out that the golf tournament gives away cars. Now, I mentioned it a long time ago, that Steve Strope, our hot rod builder buddy.
Yeah, Steve.
He built a couple Challengers that they gave away through the Charles Schwab tournament, the championship. And this year, Charles Schwab is having another builder do one of these trick Ford Broncos that has, you know, all the stuff you would want in. It's one of these Broncos that we'd see go across the block at Barrett Jackson for like $300,000, maybe, you know,
because
it has all of the right accoutrements. It has the right motor. It's, you know, it's a little old, it's a little new, but it got me to dive into it a little, Matt. And I found out that major golf tournaments have given away $5.3 million worth of vehicles. Now, some are old, like we just talked about, but then there's new ones also. BMW is one of the biggest ones to award vehicles in the major golf tournaments. But $5.3 million since 2012. And they say that the cars have been given away to people, including one caddy actually got one. I don't know how he snagged one. I did hear that one of the cars Steve Stroke built was won by a major player who turned around and gave it to his caddy. So if they're talking about that one, maybe that was it. And two have been given away to charity. The average car they give away has a value of $131,024. And the 17th hole is the most popular way to give away cars. 12 cars have been given away on a 17th hole for a hole in one. So if you're going to get a hole in one, I guess the 17th is where you do it, and then you get a car. But if you're a golfer, look for those, check them out. They're giving them away at all the PGA tournaments.
Maybe I should start golfing. How do I get into the PGA tournament?
You got to go to the Masters. You know, it's we're to the age where we'd have to be in the Masters.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I could take up golf.
What about the Pro-Am up in Pebble Beach? Maybe we hook up with some celebrity and, you know.
Yeah. You know, looking at the list, there was a lot of BMWs given away over the years.
They say more than Porsche, anyone else.
Porsche Panamera, BMW i8, lots of Kias, Hyundais. Yeah, it's a pretty good list.
So it's pretty, I mean, it's pretty interesting that Charles, there must be a car guy at Charles Schwab, because for them to go around to all these builders and have these custom cars built, it's kind of cool. They're all kind of resto mod type of thing.
Yeah. All the Schwab ones are like resto mods and hot rods and, mm-hmm. and, you know, the 73 Challenger. And there is a 46 Dodge Power Wagon.
The Power Wagon was cool. I saw that.
Yeah. 79 Firebird. And now this Bronco. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
They should have a case of Bravago in the trunk of all those cars and Bond Speed wheels on them, if you ask me.
Yeah, how do we get in on that?
Hey, I think we're going to wrap it up for the day because I'm losing my voice. And
Brad's slowly whittling away.
I am. I am, man. But hey, everyone... just remember that I think we're going to have the whole team here next week. And
yeah, we'll see how that move goes.
Yeah, we'll see. Aaron might be like, oh, no, man, I got somebody coming over to look at the cab over. And I've got to get that thing pushed down the hill with my forklift. And but first, I've got to use my snowblower to clear the driveway so they can get it out. But I sold it last week. I mean, you know, it'll be a story. So
thanks, guys, for listening. Shiftandsteer.com is the website. You know where we are on social media at Motorator and Drink Bravago, drinkbravago.com.
And roll on Bond Speed Wheels at bondspeedwheels.com.
Yeah, buy some Bravago.
And we love our lev racks. I always like to say that because whenever I go in my shop and I see my lev rack, I'm just like, I love that lev rack. So, all right, everybody. Find me at Bradley_Fanshaw, Win Brad Stuff, both on Instagram. And we will be back next week. That is a promise, not a threat.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.